Well, we're ending up with our worldview, and the idea of a worldview, I had two ideas I was thinking about, two analogies to share with you today. I was debating which one to share, so I was asking Julie on my way here which one she liked better. And as you know how things go, once you open up that can of worms, you never know where it's going to lead. And so, of course, the answer was neither of the two. So we came up with a third. Surprise, right? Those married men out there, yeah, we know how that goes. So the idea that came about, and I really think it was God giving this idea, but looking at worldview as a tree, and as believers, God plants a seed in us. And then that tree becomes a tree of life. It becomes a tree of faith. And then we go out in the world, and we live in the world. And that's where worldview comes from, is that we go out in the world, and we have a view of that world. And we can think of that worldview as kind of like the tree that we become. And that tree is all part of, you know, our heritage, our family, our culture. It's everything. And so it's kind of a hodgepodge of beauty and a hodgepodge of mess. But it's the whole thing. We can't just take out little pieces of it. And so when we talk worldview, we got to keep that in mind because each one of us are different trees. And so we all have different looking branches and different leaves. And different trunks. And so there's all kinds of differences. And as we open up the can of worms of talking about worldview with others, those differences are going to come out. But why should we even have those conversations to begin with? Why should we even talk about worldview? And to me, the only reason to really talk about it is to get to the root of things. And the root of things is the fact that we as believers have been given the seed of life, not from our works, but a gift from God that has planted in us. And then that seed grew roots and then built up and then turned into something who we are today. And as we have conversations with people, many of the conversations are about branches and trunks and leaves, and we may compare our leaf to someone else's leaf, and they're different. And quite honestly, I used to never want to talk about worldview. It just kind of made me sick to even think about it, because my perception of worldview conversations was, quite honestly, narrow thinking Christians talking about how right their branch was and how they knew how all the leaves were built, and that there is only one way that these leaves are built. And so it kind of had this perception of very narrow thinking and trying to conform and all of that, and that's what I kind of thought worldview was. I don't think that that's what worldview is. I think worldview is understanding the trees are all different, but all conversations need to get at the root, which is how we were planted by God. And so today we're going to talk, I'm going to open up kind of a discussion here as a body about some of these worldviews. And it's just mainly to have an idea to get a feel for what those conversations can be like and to learn from. And of course, I'm hoping you guys will participate. Now, if you remember way back a couple months ago, you know, I talked about geometry, you remember that? For those of you who weren't here, you think, wow, he really did talk about geometry. But now I'm not going to quiz you because you probably forgot everything. But there's really two things I want to bring back from that conversation. And one of them was the idea, if you remember, was geometry is based on like five basic assumptions. And when we changed one of those assumptions, then all of a sudden it grew into a whole different geometry that was just as valid as the Euclidean geometry that we know today. And it's just as true. And so in the context of the worldview, That's like putting a different seed in the ground when you change that foundation. And so now, you know, instead of like an oak tree, now it's going to be like a pine tree. Because if you change that foundational thing, it's going to, you know, come up with something totally different. And as we have conversations with people, often we see are the branches, and we have debates about all these branches, and we think we're going to reconcile things by, you know, knowing all the details about all the branches and leaves, when in fact, really the real issue is the seed itself. And not that we can't have conversation of it, but the conversation is not trying to say our branch is better than their branch, or we know about, you know, how branches are built. It's to have just a dialogue with people so we can enjoy, wow, who created these branches? How beautiful are these branches? And discover the source of life and who actually gave us that. And so that's kind of the context of that. And so in that math analogy, it just kind of shows how you can change one thing and everything else becomes beautiful. And then the second reason that I kind of brought that up was even something as what you may consider boring, geometry, that is in the picture of a worldview, that the worldview is so big, there's nothing we can't do or say or think about that is not part of our worldview. Our worldview is, what do we think about when we're at the stoplight? And, you know, can we go through it when it's yellow? Can we speed? You know, can we tell a little white lie? You know, all of this stuff is part of the tree of life. And it's all part of the worldview. And we need to make decisions about how we're going to live that life and how are we going to make those decisions. And, you know, the Bible doesn't tell you what to do in a lot of those things. So we have to figure that out. And so I want to give you an idea that this worldview is, you know, it's everything. It's the all of life. So God cares about all that. And that's the cool thing, is that all these things are things God cares about. And so if we're thinking, well, God doesn't really care about this, he does. I mean, it's all there. So I'm going to the first topic I'd like to talk about. We may not get past the first one. That's not the point, but I just want to at least give you guys a chance to share. I'm going to read a verse about the resurrection, because to me, you know, that resurrection is my seed. The fact that Jesus died and was buried and was raised from the dead, that's kind of the seed that starts everything for me. Because if then I see that, then all of a sudden I start looking at the scriptures as, okay, maybe the scriptures are true because the scriptures give testimony to that. And even though I wasn't there, I know other people were there and witnessed the resurrection. And if it wasn't true, that story would never have lived throughout time, because people would say, no, that's not true. So that's the resurrection is kind of like my seed. You may have a little different seed, but we all have kind of the seed that starts the life that was built in it. So I'm going to read this a little bit about Jesus talking about the resurrection. And as I'm doing, you can listen, but then think about, is there anything in your life, and I know there are, things that this story of the resurrection has impacted you, and is there something you would like to share with the body just as an example of your worldview based upon this one topic of the resurrection? So I'll just read this familiar passage in John. Once I get to the right spot. Okay. Make sure I got the right spot. Sorry. It is John 11:17. It's John 11:17 is the verse, if you have your Bible. There it is. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console with him concerning the brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated at the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. So there's just one part of the tree of life. I'm sure you're familiar with that story. So is there anything that you can think about in your life where the resurrection has meant something to you, where it impacted your life, or maybe you had a conversation with it? Like for me, it's kind of like the foundation of how, you know, my whole faith is. But, you know, maybe you guys have different stories about how that resurrection, you know, what is your worldview on that? If you were going to talk to someone about the resurrection, or how does that impact your life? So this is now time for you guys to raise your hand and say, yes, I'm going to volunteer. Any ideas? Rachel, thank you. So you see that the resurrection was an act of what God did, his work, and not your work. And, you know, that's huge. I mean, that's just like all other religions. It's about what you do, how you earn favor with God. And then that's looking at that as, no, this is not my work, it's God's work. That, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, Daniel. Yeah, that's kind of like a dividing point in the road of the conversation, if they believe that or if they don't. Right. Good. Yeah, Nancy. So I'm your neighbor, Nancy, okay? And you just told me that, and I'm just one of those obnoxious neighbors that just really logical. And you say that to me, I'm thinking, you know, why would you believe something that is upside down? I mean, I try to figure things out that make sense, and then you're telling me you believe something upside down. Why would I want to, you know, so how would you then respond to that? Putting you on the spot here, but I know you can handle this. Go ahead, play your cards. I've got time. Well, I think that just the point that she made, I don't know if you've been in these conversations, and sometimes, I mean, the goal is you want to have a conversation, right? You don't want it to turn into a debate where it's defensive and all that stuff. But, you know, how wonderful it is to ask someone a question, you know? I mean, are you much more invited into that conversation if someone asks you a question rather than they just spit out information? So I think that's a great thing to think about in these conversations is, it's not, you don't feel like you have to give answers. You can always just ask questions and then let them do the talking. I'll go ahead, Kent. Yeah, it's an ongoing faith journey, and you have to choose, you know, you have to make decisions. Do you actually believe this is true, or do you think that someone just got thrown into some water, you know? And there's a choice there. What do you believe? And good. I know there's some other hands back there. Yeah, that's a whole nother, critical branch or the concept of why do I need the resurrection? Yeah, he did it, but I'm good. I'm better than the next guy or whatever. I'm good enough. I try hard. And so, that's always an interesting conversation to have is why we need God. Was there someone else over here? Yeah. Yeah, I think that concept of getting beyond what we, in each of one of us can see, we all have our own worldview, so we only see our own tree, we only experience our own tree, but that if we limit reality to just that, it's very limiting. And so if we just believe that things that we can touch and smell are the only things that exist, then... you know, we're missing out on all the other things that exist that we can't touch and smell. And so as you think about those things, you know, there's, what about, you know, I always, challenge about what are the things that I don't know about that are beyond me? Am I open to those things? And I think there's that, we have to have that idea that there's openness to learn and to grow. And, because obviously, once we close that, then we're just close-minded, and then no progress is made. Is that kind of similar to what you were thinking of this? Okay. Yeah, Delaine. Yeah, that's really good. In fact, I'm going to finish with that here in a couple of minutes, that idea of remembering. But, you know, it's interesting if you think about why should we, you know, we hear a lot, oh, Christians are supposed to read the Bible, right? You know, it's like something you got to do. Well, what about thinking about it in the sense of, well, I need to read the Bible because I need to remember these things. And it's I need this to remember rather than it's something that I have to do because that's what Christians are supposed to do. And so if we think about all the things that we do, you know, we come together and we gather. Why do we gather? Well, it's because Christians are supposed to gather. No, because we need to be reminded. We need to see those things. And so, you know, there's that element of it's a slight twist in attitude and perspective, but it changes Christianity from a list of things we got to do to the reasons why we're doing those things. And so I know that's important because we do a lot of things the same every week, and we can sometimes forget the why. Didn't have what?
I mean, God allowed his son to be scourged and nailed on the cross. But somehow we're all supposed to be protected from anything evil or difficult in this life. And it's not that this life isn't important, but we focus too much on the well-being of our moral flesh rather than our eternal soul.
Yeah, an expression I heard once, it said, as Christians, we should feel safe but not comfortable. And I think about feeling safe, like, you know, I hope everyone here feels safe to come here, not only just come here, but to be who you are, that you don't have to put on airs or anything. But we should never, I think, feel comfortable in the sense that we stop growing and being more Christ-like. And as we saw, Christ's own example was not about comfort. And so we shouldn't expect that type of life either. And so that's, I guess, part of following who Jesus is. Chad.
So, as I think about that in my life, it begs the question, where am I focused? And I think it's interesting to me, yeah, I see different trees and different leaves, and the analogy maybe breaks down a little bit, but I think that supernaturally we all share the same fruit. And so you might have all these different trees and views and understandings, how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Yeah, and the way I kind of thought about that with the trees is like, you know, whether you're going to call it oak trees or whatever. So the believers are like the oak trees. All of those trees are going to look similar. They're going to have similar characteristics that they are, but there will be differences. But you can't, like, you can't make a pine tree like an oak tree. You know, if you want to, if a pine tree looks at the branches of an oak, they're going to have to start from the seed. They just can't, like, try to become that seed. So I think that that's a good point. Andre. Right, right. Yeah, and I think that to me that just summarizes everything, is that how I live my life ultimately comes down to that one foundational seed. And when I have conversations with other people, if I'm hoping to impact them for the kingdom, somehow it needs to get to that one important thing, because, you know, there's always differences, but if we don't talk about the resurrection, the differences don't matter. Because that's not the point. The point is the resurrection, because from there, then everything else there grows. Okay, well, we'll go and wrap up. In the same book, they gave an analogy I thought was kind of cool, talking about communion. But the picture was, and I had this growing up in my Lutheran church, you know, when we had communion, you get down, and then you put your hands out and to receive the communion like this. Of course, if you weren't old enough to drink the wine, we had real wine back then you put your hands down like this so you didn't get the wine when you're not supposed to. But the idea was you had open hands. And, you know, I kind of thought about that. And, you know, that says a lot about us, is those open hands, is that we as believers are here to receive. And, you know, we received communion today. That was not a work that we did. You know, that was a work that Christ did. We didn't have anything that we could give that was of value to God. Now, that doesn't mean we can't exercise gifts, and, you know, we're supposed to, but those things aren't what gives us value to God. And it's just the receiving of that gift, that humility of coming together with open hands. And we received baptism. You know, you guys went in there without works, and out of faith and obedience, you were baptized. And again, that's coming with your hands open, receiving the blessings of God. And so think about that. And Jesus said, this is back to the remembrance idea. What did Jesus say? He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so if you've received a blessing today, if you've received something, I hope it's not something that's just something that you think about. Because Jesus didn't say, think about this in remembrance of me. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And so The idea is that our faith is a catch and release sport. So for those fishermen out here, this is where you guys pay attention. You receive things, but you release them back. And so if you receive blessings today, if God has spoken to you, don't just think about it. Catch it and then release it to where God leads you to release it.